This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Hey everybody, Vision 2023, sponsored by Napa. And all I got to say is 1, 2, 3, crush it. And that was my friend, Marianne Croce Transmissions in Norwalk, Connecticut, and smallbusinessvantage.com business coach. Hi.
Hi, Carm.
So we're here at Vision. You told me that your husband, Tony, was down in a class, and thank you for taking some time out to be here. We said 1, 2, 3, crush it in the beginning because Marianne and I want to talk about crushing owners' fears. Mm-hmm. I hear it way too often. I hear it from the pundits of our industry and the coaches. I hear it from technicians that sometimes we just can't seem to get done and we're just afraid to do something. So I think this is such an apropos episode to talk about because we talk about fear, but I don't think we've ever dedicated an entire episode to fear.
Mm-hmm. Hey, plan to be at Apex 2023, October 31st through November 2nd. Apex will build upon the incredible success of Joe's Garage, a full 10-bay working environment. If you earn your living in the auto service aftermarket, then Apex is for you. Hey, did you know that Napa Trax has on-site training plus 6 days a week support? It all starts when a local representative meets with you to learn about your business and how you run it. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. Let us prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. Find Napa Trax on the web at napatracs.com.
Well, I am so glad to be here because as a shop owner myself since 1999, there were a lot of fears. Absolutely. And the thing about fear when we talk about it is it's completely normal that when you're out of your element or you're doing something new, maybe you're attending Vision for the first time and you're a little bit nervous or a little bit fearful. It's perfectly normal. But the main thing with fear is it's your attitude, because the attitude that you take about that fear, what am I going to learn? What am I going to be? Who am I going to be after I implement the things that I learn? That's really what makes it exciting and how you can really kind of crush that fear and turn it into something positive. In 2014, I wanted to develop myself as an owner and a leader in my business. So I know you have many guests on your show who were certified in some type of leadership training. And I decided to do that as well. So I became a 90-day-year certified partner and never looked back. And now I'm able to share it and bring some of it here today, share it with the industry.
So many times we convince ourselves because we're so afraid of things that we start believing ourselves, don't mm-hmm. we?
Yeah, we let that fear take over and we let all of the stories that drive that fear, because we want in the end the business to thrive. And I found that when the business thrives, what happens is it helps you both personally and professionally. It helps everyone. It helps your customers. It helps your suppliers, your vendors. It helps your team. It helps everyone. So that's the goal. And some people use the word balance to get the business to thrive. They're like, okay, that's more like a balance that you're talking about. But for me, it's like fulfillment. I feel like the business is rewarding. My personal life is rewarding. And so it's a both personal and professional.
But let me stop you for a moment. Fulfillment, rewarding, you got to work at that.
Oh, absolutely.
It just doesn't, I'm going to hang around, just going to wait to be fulfilled. I'm sorry.
No.
You have to go for it.
Yeah, you do.
So you got to crush the fears. You probably won't find fulfillment or any rewards if you're always afraid to do something.
The fear can hold you back.
Yeah.
Absolutely paralyze you.
You know, I love the analogy. If you don't find what you do rewarding, if you don't find fulfillment in the daily grind, what the hell you keep doing it for?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I talk to owners, when I talk to clients, those are some of the things that actually show up. And I go over the three things that I think are really important for your business to be able to thrive. And it's the business has to be profitable. It has to be sustainable and it has to be enjoyable. So if it's profitable, here's the cool thing about that is you can reinvest. And I say reinvest because you already invested a lot into your business. But look at this as being able to reinvest. Updating equipment, benefits. It could be pay for your team. It could be more training. You can give back to your community. There are so many different ways that you can reinvest in your business.
You know, I don't think enough shop owners realize that new salaries come from profit. They just think, well, I'm going to just pay somebody more. And guess what? if you don't make enough adjustments in your business to your margins, to your labor rate, then you're just going to keep making less and less money. So the more money you make, because you're running a great business, you're doing all the things right up on the top line of the P&L, then when that profit is there, you can share through so many other things, increased, improved benefits, new equipment, and improved salaries.
You brought up a good point with numbers. If you know your numbers and you understand your numbers, then what happens is you go from being in doubt and questioning a lot of things to now you're more confident. And that's huge when you understand and you know those numbers. It's a game changer. And what else happens is when you become sustainable, your business is now independent of you. The business is not you. And this is what I see a lot of owners feeling like they are the business. So now with the business being separate from you, it is definitely more opportunities for you. And the cool thing about this is you have systems, you have processes in place. And a lot of times people will say to me, yeah, but you know, that's a lot of work. Like I know what I want done, but to really formalize it. But here's what I say, isn't micromanaging a lot of work? Because a lot of times that's what we're doing now, right? We're micromanaging and that takes a lot of time, a lot of effort, and it costs a lot of money. So you go from micromanaging to now being in control.
Micromanaging is the excuse never to leave the business. There are some people that either don't trust their people, haven't assigned them any new responsibilities and watched them grow. And all they do is they go into the grind every day. I don't care who I've had on my show, these super successful one percenters, they'll all tell you the same thing. They were there once. They thought they were indispensable. They micromanaged so that they had something to do every day to the nth degree. I got great people around me. Give them more work to do. No, they can't handle it. So we manufacture excuses as to why we can't delegate and rise above it all. And it's all the fear that I won't be relevant anymore.
Yeah, delegate is huge. That's exactly what it is. That is the fear. It's the fear that not being able to delegate. And they struggle with that because what I hear from owners and clients is, yeah, but you know what, Marianne, it's just easier if I do it myself. By the time I show someone, try to teach someone. So that's one of the excuses that you were talking about. It's just easier if I do it this way. But in the end, they're not empowering their team. They're not growing their team. They're not developing their team. They can't leave as they need or they want to.
I don't know why I just hit me upside the head because I said it just a minute and a half ago, the fear of relevancy. I want to be able to get up and work every day knowing that I'm in the cauldron of fire. And I love that. And I get off on it. Instead of, we know shops that are open 5 days a week, but owner only works four. Because he purposefully lets the team be on their own for day five. And he's still there for 4 days to redirect. He still can be on the phone. He could still use communication tools to be there, but he's got to ultimately, here's the deal. You want to sell your place? There isn't a person in the M&A mergers and acquisition world that says your place isn't that attractive if you're the star of the show. We want you to be irrelevant, but everybody fears that they'll lose their relevancy.
Well, you actually gain more control by letting go.
Yeah.
And you brought up a good point. With all three of these things, your business being profitable, sustainable, and enjoyable, there's something that happens with all of these. And what it is your business is healthier. It's more secure. Like we went through COVID, right? That was really difficult challenge for a lot of people. But the businesses that were more healthier or more secure and established really were able to weather that a little bit better. You make better decisions. Your decision-making skill improves with these three things that I'm talking about. The other thing is business valuation that you were just mentioning. Your business is worth more because now you're independent from the business and there's growth opportunities because you're not so caught up head down and you're able to make better decisions and kind of look at your business from that 30,000 foot view. Now, all of a sudden you're like, wow, there's opportunities here that I never realized before that I can take advantage of.
Why do people just continue to want to be in that daily grind? You know, like you say, with their head down, maybe not their head down. They just love it so much, or they have nothing else that they could do. They have no hobbies. Maybe they're him and the wife, they're not talking about, let's just go do something today. Do you have to go to work? Yeah, they can't survive without me. Maybe it's we just can't discover what an alternative would be than going to work.
I think it happens very organically. I know for Tony and I, it did when we first opened our shop. And for many owners that I talk to inside and outside the industry, when you first start your business, you are filled with so much excitement and joy. You're just like on cloud nine because this is a whole new venture in your life. And you're willing to do everything, anything. You'll clean the bathrooms. You'll stay late. You'll go in early. Whatever you need to do, you'll do. It's kind of like a high. And then what we don't realize is over time, we're creating habits and routines, but those habits and routines actually hold us back.
I love what you just said. I've experienced that. It was 7:24 when I opened my business on my in 82. And I have to tell you, I never thought that I couldn't sustain it. So much energy. And it was the right thing at the right time for me to do. You're trying to build a staff, build customers. And if I was still doing that today, I may not be here. And I think there's this sustainability thing that we have to think about, the health side of what we do. And if you've been doing this for 30 straight years and you can't stop, it's like a drug almost. And maybe this episode, maybe you're listening to it with your spouse, maybe you're listening to it with your son or daughter and says, hey, I just listened to this great episode on fear. I think they're talking about me. There's some really good things in here. Can you help me get through this? Asking for help. There's nothing wrong with that.
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, I did it myself, reached out, and it was the best thing that we did because you're getting different perspectives, which is huge. And I don't want to forget here the enjoyable part of this, because you've touched on this just a few moments ago. When you enjoy what you're doing and you like going in, it fuels you. You like the people that you're around. You enjoy your customers. You get excited again, right? You really love what you're doing. And instead of feeling drained at the end of the day, you actually feel fueled so that when you do go home to your family, it's not like, okay, and I don't have anything left in the tank. It's you actually feel fueled. And that is so important to remember to keep the business enjoyable.
I know that. You've just told the audience, okay, it's okay. But no, I mean, I think the whole thing about the delegation process and trying to make yourself irrelevant in the business and just be this its greatest leader in the world, I don't think I can enjoy that. So there's a dichotomy here. If you enjoy it and you're fueled by it, stay at it. But guess what? It's not sustainable. I mean, I guess my point is it's not sustainable for 40 years.
Well, here's what happens when you think about the business being enjoyable. Here's the pushback that I get. So there's fears with each and every one of these, right? With your business being profitable, sustainable, and enjoyable. So let's talk about those fears. So with enjoyable, because we just were talking about that part of it. When it comes to that, they're really afraid of stepping into the owner role. A lot of times they're overloaded with all these different tasks because there's so many different areas of the business that need attention. And if they were a former tech or they had another role, maybe when they were working for someone else, now they're in that owner role and they're like, holy crap, there are so many different pieces of this business that need attention, that need maintenance. And I call it being an overload. So all of a sudden, business is not fun anymore. So the struggle there, the fear is focusing on the owner role. So as an owner, your role is to know and understand the financials of the business. If you don't know those, you need to know those because that is an owner's role. And there's plenty of support and resources for that. The other thing is, what's your messaging? What is your messaging to the public? What is your messaging to your team? And that includes your core values, all of those types of things. But what is being put out there that is about your business? And the last thing is, you always need to be building and nurturing relationships, whether it's with your customers, your vendors, your suppliers, your team, getting to know them, what motivates them, all of that. And when you do that, you now create a culture where people can thrive personally and professionally because you're leading by example. So when they leave work, they go home and they feel like this is a good place to be.
If you went to Apex 2022, then you realized the incredible commitment that Apex has to the service professional. Joe's Garage is your place with 10 working bays as you experienced real live working conditions. Also, the best tech companies from tools and repair to management software had their latest and greatest for you. You also attended technical and business management training with the industry's best and brightest. Now, work is underway to make next year's Apex 2023 have even more product demos, trending training, marketing, and social media support to help you grow your sales and profits. Remember, if you earn your living in the aftermarket, then Apex is the expo for you. Continue listening as we bring you the latest from Apex 2023. Save the date, October 31st through November 2nd, 2023. Hey, let's face it. Your shop management system is the single most important tool in your shop, period. NapaTrax has made selecting the right shop management system easy by offering the industry's best, most comprehensive SMS. Now, it all starts when a local representative meets with you to learn about your business and how you need to run it. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. And having local representation is a huge plus. Customizing Trax to your business, whether you're a one-person shop or a large multi-bay or multi-location company, a representative consults with you to help optimize your shop's workflow, efficiency, and profitability. Trax always has the flexibility to do business how you need to do it, which means it can also grow as your business grows. And unlike the other guys, we'll be there for you after installation with the best training and support in the business. Yes, a learning management system tailored to each role in your company. Simply put, Trax was designed and built for shop owners just like you. Visit us on the web at NapaTrax, that's NapaTrax.com.
Let's step back a moment and talk about tasks, because you brought them up. And the fear of not taking on the responsibilities on I really need to raise my labor rates. Everybody that I know, the think tank that I'm in, podcast that I listen to, my friend the other day, I got to raise my labor rates. Oh, here comes a car. Oh, I can diagnose that. Here comes a letter from the state unemployment office and they want to do an audit. Let me fix this. Oh, front end? Okay, let me handle that. And so we're in this, if you will, ignore phase because we don't want to deal with that. It is so much a huge part of being a leader and a business person. Because if you ignore certain elements in your business, the additional responsibilities that you have to not only government and finance and banking at all, you're going to be in a position where you can't sell your business. You're going to have to give it away. You can't hire any great people because you haven't paid attention to the pure business side of the business because you want to be busy. You want to be out there rocking and rolling, and you're putting tasks in front of relevancy or responsibility. Mm-hmm. And I know I'm talking to a bunch of people that are listening. Yeah, it's like, it's the grind. You get on the wheel, right, Marianne? And you can't get off.
Hey, I was there. Everything that I'm saying, I've done myself. I was there. Tony and I opened up our business and he was writing service and I was doing customer service. I was answering the phones. And then I realized how much work was involved with me now doing all the financials for the business.
So, wait a minute, but you were in banking before that, right?
Right. Yeah. But still, you had to prioritize when the phones were ringing and the customers were walking in, you had to take care of them.
Sure.
So from 8 to 5, that's what I did. Then after 5, I started working on the financials and I was there 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night at times. So I understand all of this. I've been there. I've done it. And I know what it did. I know what it did to me. I know what it did to us. It caused a lot of angst. It caused a lot of stress. But once I said, wait a minute, for me to be a better owner, to be a better leader in this business, this is where I need to work on me.
So what did you face? The fear of leadership, the fear of delegation, the fear of...
I think for me, it was a letting go. I think I fell into that category where this is our business and this is our baby.
Every lever, you had to pull or push every single lever.
Yep.
And did that build you up, sustain you? What did it do to you wanting to get up the next day and do it again? Was this enjoyment?
Well, for a while there, I felt like I was in burnout. I really did. I felt like I was in burnout. I was exhausted. And Tony and I had to kind of have this talk where it was like, what are we going to do? Because when I was trying to learn something, he could be supportive of me because it was a new skill. And when he was trying to learn something new, I could be supportive of him. But I think the most challenging times for us were when we were both trying to learn something and we couldn't see each other's struggles. So that was the hardest. And once we figured that out, then we realized that we could help one another and we could get through that. We understood that we were building new skills. And I really had to focus on, it's a tool that I could share with everyone, but I call them theme days. And I really had to sit down and say, this is my role as an owner. And what I need to do is I need to block out that time. Some people will call it time management. I like the idea of managing your priorities because sometimes if you give yourself an hour to do something, you'll take the whole hour. But if you say, I have to get this done, and in the beginning, it may take you a little bit longer, but once you hone that skill, you'll find out, oh, instead of taking an hour, I was able to do this in 20 minutes. So I look at it like managing priorities.
Are you a great procrastinator?
I don't know. Maybe I was in the beginning.
Because I am.
Maybe I was in the beginning.
But I think about the responsibility that I have to the task. And if I started working on it right now without total think through, it would take me an hour. But if I procrastinated and said, I'm not ready yet, somehow you know when you're ready to sit down and do some kind of task, mm-hmm. no matter what. I don't have the fear of failing in any regard. It's almost like the fear of not being successful. And so you think this stuff through as often as you can. And then when I sit down, I was asked to write an article recently for NAPA. It's coming out in their March edition. And is there a deadline? Well, yeah, it's in like 3 weeks. Can you remind me 3 days before? Yeah, I guess so. I was writing the article over and over again in my mind. I was trying to shape the paragraphs and the ideas.
But that's not procrastination.
What is it?
That's not procrastination. That's just your way.
Is it developing?
Of creating.
It's my creation process.
Right.
My creative process.
Some people, it has to be pen to paper right away.
Yeah.
For you, you have to think it through. You're not going 3 days before cold and coming up with everything. You've already started working on it. That's just your process.
Tracy's here. Do you know that about me? She does. Okay. You tolerate it?
But everybody's process isn't the same, right?
No, it's not. How often we talk about labor rates?
Right.
So, and getting that right and the fear of not being able to do that. Every person that I've ever talked to that says, how'd you get over the fear of raising your labor rates? I just did it and it didn't matter. It worked.
Push through it.
Yeah.
And that's what you have to do. You have to face your fear. But I think there's something a little bit deeper because sometimes these fears that I talk about, they're not so obvious. And one of them, when it comes to being profitable, is there's a lot of money stories that people have personally, they've experienced in their life. And sometimes even though you've gone through the training and you sat through or you listened to a podcast, you know, a little while after that, those money stories start creeping up. And it could be something that you were taught about money when you were a kid. There's so many different sayings. I mean, we've all heard them. The rich get richer type of thing. People that have money, greed is associated with money. All of these different things. So if you've been influenced by that in any way, or it can hold you back. And the funny thing is a lot of these people that don't want to raise their labor rate, for example, they'll say things to me like, well, I really care about my customers and I know the situation that this customer is. So they are a very caring group and they want to help their community. They want to help their customers. They're afraid they're going to turn their customers away. But here's the thing. They actually can't best serve their customers if they're not profitable. They're not going to be there as a resource. They're not able to help the community. They can't develop their team. There's a lot of things that they can't do. So what I suggest is let's figure out a way to find out what those stories are and crush those stories and shift them so that we change the way that you look at money. Money is a tool. That's really what it is. It's a tool for you to be able to do a lot of good for your community, the team that you work with, your family. Really, that's what it is.
It goes beyond the excuses. It goes beyond the tasks that you feel you have to do every day. Tracy just whispered in my ear and brought me about the fear of going to a conference for the first time. Here we're at Vision 2023. 42% of everybody here is a new sign up. It really is. There's so many great things going on. Vision seems to evolve each and every year and gets better, much more dynamic than each year. It goes beyond what it can do. And when I think about who's not here, they would need 10 convention centers this size to house the people that need to be here. There's a fear of not wanting to go to a conference because I may sit next to somebody I don't know. or I've really never gotten on a plane or traveled, or what happens when? What am I really going to learn that I don't already know? And I think the whole fear of conferencing, Tracy, to your point, because she went to Women in Auto Care last year, it was her first time, and you were a scared little bunny, weren't you? Yeah, she was. And then she comes home, and what does she do? After Dad had been encouraging her to do her own podcast, at least do something, she records it, and she wins a national award with it.
I saw it. That was excellent.
And so she overcame that fear. She just came back from her second bout. And I think the stories like that, like my first conference ever when I was a very young man, I had no idea. I felt that I needed the training. I wasn't 100% sure until I got there, and I never looked back. And I went, was on boards and a board of directors, and I just continued to get involved and invest. And I credit all of that to where I am as an influencer in this industry. I care about getting people's stories told. I want people to give inspiration to people. And if I had not faced my early fears, there's the old syndrome that, you know, I'm not worthy, and imposter syndrome, I'm not worthy, I can't really do this. Then you get up every day and you grind through your tasks. And sooner or later, you have the government on your lap. You can't hire good people. You're always in recruitment mode, and you're wondering where the next really good customer is going to come from. And they walk in the door, and then you never see them back again because you didn't provide them the right experience. And all of these can come by facing your fears and saying, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get the hell out of my own way.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to do it anyway,
yeah,
even though
I'm
scared. Just
I'm
like
gonna,
Tracy
yeah.
did. I'm going to go anyway.
I'm going to do it
and
anyway.
She had the right attitude. She had the right attitude when she went.
Bring a lot of deodorant.
Exactly.
Because you're going to be sweating a lot.
And once you start talking to someone,
my God.
The rest of it, it just comes, it's natural.
Listen, there's so many great regional seminars. One of the things that I want to encourage people to do is to just find your local networking group. There is an mm-hmm. awful lot around the country, independent shop owner groups in your town. But they're not your competitors. Trust me, believe me. And they want to share and they want to help each other. And if you can get to a few of those, then you could ultimately fix and change your business, because the people that go to those are the givers that want to help you.
Yes, they are.
They don't want anything for it. They don't want to be your competitor. They want to be your partner, your support person, your advocate. And frankly, they probably want to push you a little bit because they've been pushed. And every time we go to the well, we find ourselves a coach, a mentor, and we see what it did to us, we usually want to pay it back.
Exactly.
And that's where this networking group and being a great mentor is all about. The reason that I wanted to do this episode on fear is maybe we turn one more additional person who's listening to make the change that's necessary for their business and their life, their work families, and their personal families, and give them an opportunity to find a way out. And I know there are so many in their late 50s and early 60s that want to get out. Every time I ask any key person in this industry, if you're not doing well right now and you want to get out, what's the timeline to get a profit and loss statement in front of a potential buyer that they'll want to jump on? They say 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
5 years to fix you and the business.
Yeah, I agree with that. Absolutely. So you have to start today, because you never know what's going to happen. You may decide that you're 10 years away or you're 5 years away, but what if something happens that was unexpected? So it's always good to start today and think about what you were just saying, being able to sell the shop. And I know you've done episodes on that as well.
All kinds.
But I think if owners realized, it was why I decided years ago to step out and improve myself, because I really believe that business grows as owners and leaders grow. And once I started stepping out, I took a lot of training from day one. I went to industry training, loved what I received. It was great information. And I went home and I applied it. That's how I actually took my notes. When I'd be in a class, I would start making notes of how it applies to me, kind of on the side of the notebook, and say, here's what I'm going to do. And then Tony and I would meet before we went home over lunch, over dinner, and we would talk about different things. Like, let's talk about three different things that we're going to go back and do it in bite-sized pieces. But I think that it's not only that business grows as owners and leaders grow, but you grow personally. And that really helps your relationship as well, your personal relationships, and you're happier.
I love what you said about, you know, taking some notes or writing things down. And today, I know we use digital assistants and cell phones, but I'm still a note taker on paper. And then I ultimately transfer that. I have this really interesting way of taking notes. It's a great idea that I want to pursue. On the line where that, if you will, idea is, I actually draw a little light bulb.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a note to self, I actually put a music note next to it.
Oh, I like that.
If it's something I know I need to do now, I write now. So when you go back and you say, oh my God, look at all these notes, you can actually help prioritize based on the symbol you put next to the line.
Yeah, I use symbols too, a little bit different. I like your idea. I think I like yours better than mine.
Well, it's okay. You can have that.
Yeah.
Just sign the agreement. Sign the licensing agreement and I'll let you have it.
That's a great example. We learn and share.
I know. Crushing owners' fears. What a great episode. I think we could probably talk for 2 hours, but in the essence of maybe this last half hour we've spent together, I think we may have kicked up some dust clouds from our listeners. Anything else that you got?
I just want to put a lot of emphasis on that this happens to all of us. You mentioned imposter syndrome. It doesn't go away. Even when someone reaches the next level in their business, there'll always be that feeling of, well, did I get lucky? Is it because I did things right? So you wouldn't believe how many people that you would look at and say, oh, wow, they don't have any of that ever. And they still do. It creeps up every once in a while. So I think the best advice that I could give, it works for me. It works for a lot of business owners that I know, is face those fears and just do it anyway, because you'll be amazed.
And let me repeat something you just said about 2 minutes ago. The business grows as the owners grow.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not growing, look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. Mary Ann Croce, smallbusinessvantage.com, business coach, and Croce's Transmissions, Norwalk, Connecticut, with husband Tony. I hope I see Tony here yet.
Yes, you will.
Thank you so much. I'm honored. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks, Tracy. Thanks, Carm.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.